This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport. You are listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, but it's minus the bell.
But it's very much plus the cow.
It's coming up by Johnny Sperling.
Best boozers in Britain for 2019. That's what's coming up. Revealed in an annual competition to find UK's top boozer.
New TV show is looking for Britain's loudest snorers whose long-suffering partners have had enough.
I used to snore terribly. A new TV show is looking for Britain. Oh, you've done
I've just
that.
Said that.
Oh,
one.
For goodness sake. The co-op ranks.
You were snoring, that's why.
I was snoring. The co-op ranks top ice creams with fruit pastel lolly currently on the top.
The Ashes third test. We will keep you updated all the way through the day. Australia finished on 179 all out. We will have Kieran Critchard
cricket
in the studio.
Yes, he's a cheeky one, he is. Thinks that we're only going to beat you 1-0 tomorrow. Oh, no, Sunday, isn't it?
Sunday, yeah.
He's a cheeky boy. Payday lenders targeting students heading off to university, offering loans charging up to 1,294% interest.
Disgusting.
Isn't it?
Jeremy Clarkson reveals he's lost 2 stone by eating lettuce like the Queen.
But he won't give up the booze. GCSE results. Did I say it right?
GCSEs.
GCSE results. Day 2019. Number of top grades soar for second year in a row, despite exam shake-up.
All of that plus much, much more in our first hour. You are listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, but it's minus the bell.
But it's very, very much plus the cow.
We are here until 2 p.m. We are indeed.
Yes. Come now, on, words mumbled up there. Did you hear? GCSEs.
Mixed your words up. Well, you wixed your merds up.
I wixed me merds up. Me merds.
Have you seen this?
Go on.
Well, you have. You read it. Best pubs in Britain for 2019 revealed in an annual competition to find the UK's top boozer.
Wow.
What's your favourite pub? What's your local pub that you go to?
I don't have a local pub anymore.
Okay.
I used to go to the one that I used to live in, Stapleford Abbots, which was the Top Oak.
Okay.
And but pubs are not pubs anymore, are they?
No, they're not. They're not really, particularly down here. And I think if I were to drink down here, so I've been staying in Romford for a short period of time.
Yes.
Where close to where you are.
Yeah.
And everything's so expensive. So I think my local would be a Wetherspoons if I was to go.
A Wetherspoons, yeah.
Because it's reasonably priced.
It's reasonably I need to put my teeth in.
I was going
to
say.
Hang on a second. It's reasonably priced, yes. And it's pretty much like the old pubs used to be. And the food is still pub food, isn't it? They're not trying to be too...
And also...
You know, serving it on what do you say, like a shovel?
Oh, I hate that. Just put it on a plate, man.
Put it on a plate.
The thing is, right, with Wetherspoons, is the food's so cheap. Mm. If you complain, you kind of go, well.
It's curry for a fiver, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. In Newcastle, my local pub. So, well, the pub I go to the most is the Monkey Bar. Right.
Oh, right,
and
okay.
I drink with my father-in-law.
In the Monkey Bar?
In the Monkey Bar, Tommy Cassidy.
Tommy Cassidy. Wow.
So, and a lot of Newcastle fans get in there, because obviously, former Newcastle player.
Yes.
I drink with him and we watch all the football come in.
Ah.
However, I suppose my local, in terms of the closest pub to me, is one just round the corner called the Broad Chair. It's about a 30-second walk
from Broad Chair.
The Broad Chair.
Yeah.
And that's got a Michelin star for the food.
No.
So it's so expensive.
Really? A Michelin star?
I don't bother going there, no. Because it's too expensive, man.
Yeah, it's a bit, too fancy, isn't it?
It is. It's a bit too lardy-daw.
Lardy-daw, I think is the word.
Well, from welcoming atmosphere to giving drinkers quality real ale, Britain's best pubs have been revealed for 2019. The campaign for real ale or camera, you can get those camera cards, you know, if you drink real ale, you can get a camera card and you can get points and stuff for drinking real ale.
I can't stand real ale.
Has announced its top 16 pubs after a national search to encourage pub goers to visit them over a long weekend.
There we are. Hope in Carshalton, London, is a real community pub for beer enthusiasts. And it's owned by 46 customers. There are no fruit machines, TV or Muzak. But there are five Muzak. but there are five regularly changing guest beers, supplemented by three regular cask ales.
I'm adamant Real Ale gives you bad eyes.
Does it?
Because every single person that comes in for Real Ale pushes their face right up next to them and goes, ooh, how much is that? What's in there? Yeah, whatever.
I'm not a beer drinker, so I don't think I've ever had some Real Ale.
So is that not a pub you'd go to?
What, for the Real Ale? No.
No, no.
No. No,
no. For me, the pub's all about the atmosphere.
A party with an atmosphere.
Because, I said to you the other day, I went to the Blind Beggar in Whitechapel.
Oh, yes.
The notorious pub where...
Oh, it's where someone got...
Well, it was the Ronnie Cray.
Ronnie Cray came in.
Sorted someone out.
No messing about.
Nope. Straight in the middle of the head, is what he did. And so it's notorious. And I was... So I quite like a rough pub. Do you know what I mean? You go, this is rubbish, this, man. This is what I like.
I like a rough pub to a certain extent. They're not going to start fisticuffs.
I love it, man.
Oh, no.
I love it.
Oh, I don't like it.
Oh, there's a pub in Newcastle called the Black Garter. And you walk in.
Yeah.
I haven't been in that pub for, 6 months.
Yeah.
But I can 100% guarantee I'll walk in and I'll know what I want to drink.
Okay.
Because it's a proper pub.
Right.
Proper pub, right? I took my mate there once, and she drinks Prosecco.
Oh, yeah.
And they had to run over to Tesco, buy a bottle of Prosecco, and they served it to her in a wine glass. Now, that's a proper pub. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, they don't serve Prosecco, do they?
Exactly, man, exactly. Tom Cobley in Sprayton in Devon.
The Tom Cobley?
Yes, has won many camera awards, up to 10 West Country ales, some straight from the cask, plus about 12 real ciders. Ooh. The Blind Beggar, that's got loads of ciders in. Because it's all been done up.
I don't mind the cider. I can't drink too many of them, though.
No?
I get a bit burpy. I get a bit burpy. They make me feel a bit, a little bit sick.
The Bridge Inn in Peebles. Weirdly, I've done this. I've done this gig. Sorry, there's a gig in this pub in Peebles. Bridge Inn. I've been there. And it's described as a welcoming town centre local, has a bright, comfortable bar decorated with jugs, bottles, pictures of old Peebles, and there's a cosy corner with a log burner. You know?
I bet it's not like the Rover's Return, though, is it? Excuse me, my voice has decided to go on me. In East Anglia, the Red Lion in Preston, Hertz, is an attractive free house on the village green. Oh, on the village green.
But the Red Lion is such a boring name. What would you call your pub?
Johnny Sperling's Boozer.
The Sperling?
The Sperling Boozer.
The Sperling would be nicer. Where are you going? I'm going down to the Sperling. It's all right.
It's not bad, is it?
That's it. Whoa. I've just thought. Me and you had a pub.
Yeah.
So my surname's Halbert.
Yeah. Sperling and Halbert.
Halbert and Sperling.
Halbert and Sperling. Why halibut? For fish.
For fish, yeah. So we'd serve fish and chips. That'd be our signature dish.
Halibut and Sperling.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
You got it. Wah-hey.
The halibut and Sperling.
I like that.
That's what we'll ask our listener today. What would you call your pub?
Okay. That's a good question.
This is after the best pubs in Britain for 2019 revealed in an annual competition to find the UK's top boozer. So we're asking you, what would you call your pub? And also, what's your favourite pub name?
What's your favourite pub name?
I like the Monkey Bar.
I like the Slug and Lettuce. It's a great name.
It's a good name.
The Slug and Lettuce.
I wonder where they got that name from.
I have no idea. Well, Slug and Lettuce.
I know where they got the Monkey Bar from.
What?
So, the Monkey Bar is the oldest pub that's closest to the Tyne Bridge in Newcastle. Now, when the workers were making the Tyne Bridge, slang for one of their tools was a monkey. And he goes, we'll get me monkey.
A monkey wrench.
Like a monkey wrench.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Very, very similar. So, when the workers used to go into the bar, when they didn't have any money, they'd put their monkey down as their deposit. And if you didn't pay, you didn't get your monkey. You didn't get your monkey back. And if you didn't get your monkey back, you couldn't earn any money.
You couldn't earn any
money. No money, no beer, man.
No monkey.
No monkey. So, that's what it's called, the monkey bar.
I see.
It's interesting, isn't it? So I'll tell you what, we're asking you, what would you call your pub? Ours is the Halibut and Sperling.
Halibut and Sperling.
And what is your favourite pub name? And if you want to answer those, you can.
Anyone who's been listening to us for the last 3 weeks has realised we have a new producer today for your last day, and it is Producer Paris.
Producer Paris!
Producer Paris.
He's fantastic.
And he's a lovely lad.
He is lovely.
Isn't he a lovely lad?
He is a lovely. Didn't he do well? He's my favourite. That is the telephone number. You can call us or WhatsApp us on that 0208 7020 558. We're asking you, what would you call your pub? And what is your favourite pub name? And this is after the best pubs in Britain for 2019 revealed in an annual competition to find the UK's top boozer.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen this new TV show, Johnny Spurling?
Go on.
It's looking for Britain's loudest snorers, whose long-suffering partners have had enough.
Yes. So that's going to be a new reality show, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The Great British Snore-Off. Is that what it's going to be?
The Great British Snore-Off.
Are you a snorer?
Yes. Not anymore, though, because as anyone who listens to me knows that I have a machine to sleep. It's, you know, it's just, it's sleep apnea. I had a very bad form of it, and for years I couldn't sleep properly.
Yeah.
So I used to snore, but I used to go, and stop.
Well, that sounds horrible.
Stop breathing, yeah.
Mm.
Got a machine.
Yep.
Sorted me right out.
Sorted you right out.
It's wonderful.
I snore quite a lot. But it depends on whether I've been in the monkey bar or not, as to whether I snore.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, but usually
If I've had a few lemonades.
A few lemonades, you start snoring.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there have been times... My partner snores horrifically.
Ah.
There are times where I've had to go into the spare room and even onto the couch because we're in a flat. So I need 1, 2, 3 walls between us.
And you
I can
still
hear
him.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's that bad sometimes.
It's funny, isn't it? Obviously, as I... Never really have been married or anything like that. It's not a problem for me. I can. My partner would like sleeping next to me with a mask on.
Right.
Can't be very nice, can it?
Maybe she might have one too. You never know. Never say never, mate.
No. Absolutely. They're very popular now.
They are indeed. You see people cycling around London with masks on, though, don't they, for the pollution and stuff?
They do, don't they? I've seen that a lot lately.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
However, I have noticed my fingernails...
Have they gone a bit too far, do you reckon?
Possibly. Just breathe, man. It doesn't matter. You've got your own filtration system in your body, man. I have noticed, though, since being down here for 3 weeks,
yes,
my fingernails are filthy constantly.
That's weird you should say that, because
filthy
I
constantly.
Get up in the morning, yeah, and my fingernails are dirty.
Yeah.
And I've done nothing.
Constant. I think it's the pollution. And blowing your nose, it's black all the time as well.
Really?
Blow your nose, a load of black gunks in it.
Ooh.
Love Sport. From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Now, the Co-op ranks top ice creams with fruit pastel lolly currently on top. Mm. Do you like a fruit pastel lolly?
I prefer an ice cream.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I do like an ice cream.
I like a Magnum. And my little secret favourite is, you know, the Mars bar ice creams you can get.
Yeah.
Oh, I like them.
I used to like the Dairy Milk ice creams.
Oh, yes.
My favourite of all time, mate, is the one where they do it.
Mr. Whitley.
Out of the machine.
A 99.
Oh, God, I love them.
Well, our next guest has arguably got the best job in the world.
Wow.
She gets to buy ice cream for a living. How good is that?
That's a good
living. I'm very pleased to say that on the line we have Sarah Newton, who is an ice cream buyer. A very good morning to you, Sarah.
Morning from the co-op, yes. Sarah, the ice cream buyer.
Sarah, what a job you've landed there.
I know. How did I do that?
Well, I think, first of all, the question on everyone's lips is, what's your favourite ice cream?
Yes.
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that. I've got two. Am I allowed to have two?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay, so my favourite co-op ice cream is Co-op Rockets. They're amazing, especially when it's hot.
Co-op Rockets? Never had one of those.
Oh, they're amazing. Okay. Yeah, they're one of our best sellers.
Wow. And,
but I'm a bit like you. I like the Snickers bar.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they?
Oh, you have the
Snickers. Yeah.
No, you said the Mars.
Not the Mars.
But you said
not
the Mars.
I like the Snickers. I like the Snickers
as well. It's an even better choc ice. That's what it is. That's
it
what
is.
I like about it.
I suppose it is, really, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a pimp choc ice, yeah.
Now, sorry, it's expected to be even hotter this weekend. So have you been stocking up on certain types of ice creams? And do you know what people are going to want?
Yeah, we definitely know what people want because we've got all the history of last year when it was really, really hot.
Mm.
We're totally stocked up. We've got loads more on impulse, so all the little single ice creams and lollies.
Yeah.
And then weirdly, we've got about 150% more ice cubes going in. We sell a lot of ice cubes.
Really?
This time of year.
Wow.
Yeah, especially when it gets very hot.
Yes, but of course, with the kids off as well in August, it's double whammy, isn't it? Because... You get all the kids. And of course, all the adults buy them as well, don't they? Mm.
They do. We launched the unicone this year, the little in singles.
Yes.
They are amazing. So we're sending 60,000 extra in on Saturday.
Wow.
But like you say, the kids and the parents like them. So
yeah, the kids and the parents like them. That's right. I mean, do ice lollies count as ice creams? A bit controversial, isn't it?
I've seen that debate.
Yes.
I'm on the side of ice lollies have got to be, you know, water ice. They've got to be fruity on a stick. Mm. So things like Magnums, I think, are just chocolate sticks.
Yeah, like, I mean, they've got ice cream kind of in them, though, haven't they? They make the what's normally the chocolate inside. It's ice cream.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Sarah, let's have a look at your top spots here. So the fruit pastel lolly took the number one spot, and then classics like the Fab came third. You got the Twister lolly fourth, and the Magnum fifth. Did any of these surprise you? I mean, one of my favourites, Calippo, came in at eighth. Did any of these surprise you at all?
Yeah, just on Calippo is number one. It is number one when we sell them on its own as a single.
Okay.
So that record-breaking day, we sold more Calippos than anything, yeah. No, I think what surprised me more was Cadbury Double Decker, which came into the top 10 straight away this year. That was brand new.
Really? Oh, Cadbury Double Decker, eh?
Yeah, it's a tub. It's one of my favourites.
Cool.
And then the thing that surprised me the most on our products, which I love, is the Co-op Strawberry Trifle ice cream.
I have had that. Do you know what?
You had them all, Cal, haven't you?
I've had to stop buying it, though, Sarah, because I just sit there and I eat the whole thing.
Well, yeah, me too.
Listen, is it more important to advertise to the parents?
Yes, I think you're right. I think you're right, actually. I think the parents are always the guardians of who's getting what in a household.
Yeah.
I think when it's in your house, they're definitely looking at like lollies being really low sugar and calories and things like that. But when they're out and about and just walking past a Co-op and pop in, I think they let the kids choose, actually. So you'll see things like I said, the rainbow cone at a pound, they'll let them have because they're just fun. And the Kinder cone, you know, because it's what kids like.
Yeah.
So.
Where's the Cornetto? I love a Cornetto.
Yeah. You love it.
they're one of my favourites, the mint Cornetto. Oh, yes.
They're still out there somewhere.
They're not in the top 10, though.
Not in the top 10, no.
Oh, I'm surprised at that, you see. because the thing is about a Cornetto is it's an ice cream. It's pretty much a traditional ice cream, isn't it?
It is. The traditional cone that stayed in the top 10 is Cadbury's Flake.
Ah.
You know, it's more like the Mr. Whippy, isn't it, that you get in a park because it's got the chocolate. It's like a 99 because it's got the flake in it.
Ah, yes. I do like them, yes.
I wanted to ask you, Sarah, do you have much call? So you are the buyer for ice cream buyer for Co-op. So do you ever have any call for people saying, why can't you have Mr. Whippy in the shops and you serve your own, that sort of thing? Do you ever have any call for that sort of thing?
I've not been asked that before, no. We've not been asked for Mr. Whippy. I think it's one of those things where they just like it in the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the vans, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Only a good van will do a Mr. Whippy. when a van turns up outside my door, you know, diddly-diddly-diddly-diddly-diddly, and I go outside and he goes to the scooper, I walk away. if you haven't got a Whippy, mate,
Were you not taught when they played music they didn't have any ice cream jolly? Do you not understand that?
Is that what it is? What do you expect to be the bestseller this weekend?
Well, apart from ice cubes,
yes.
For all those beers everyone's going to have in the garden.
Yeah,
I think Co-op Rockets, Ben and Jerry's, and I think Calippo, because it's going to be really, really hot.
What do you think this fascination with Ben and Jerry's is? Is it because they've got such ludicrous flavours, do you think?
Yeah, they are rammed, aren't they? Rampacked full of different inclusions and chocolates and, yeah, they are fun. I think a lot of people really like their sort of fair trade point of view, and they're seen as quite cool because they come from America.
Yeah.
Do you know what
my favourite is? I'll tell you what it is. Rum and raisin. I love a rum and raisin, but you can't get them anywhere, really. Start doing a rum and raisin, Sarah. Start doing it.
Rum and raisin, I will consider it. It's quite traditional, shall we say, to be polite.
It is traditional, isn't it? It is traditional.
Well, Sarah, thank you very, very much indeed for you coming on.
And
I promise you, I'm going to go and have a rainbow unicorn as well. I'm going to go have one. There's a co-op just around the corner from the studio.
There certainly is. You've made me hungry now.
go get one.
We will. Sarah, thank you very much. I'm Sarah Newton, the ice cream buyer for the co-op. Fantastic.
Rum and raisin, though.
Do you know, I was up in Whitley Bay doing the panto a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And there's an ice cream shop in Whitley Bay.
Whitley Beer.
That is one of the number one ice cream sellers in the country.
Oh,
and it's it has been the number one about four times in the last 5 years.
Right, okay.
And they've got all sorts of weird ice cream flavours.
Oh, go on.
I had Battenberg ice cream.
Battenberg?
Battenberg ice cream. Mm. I had Ferrero Rocher.
Ooh.
I also had orange, you know, club biscuit chocolate bars.
If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our club. Yeah.
Yes. I had an ice cream for that.
You don't remember? Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, you don't, do you?
No.
It's, I told you, years ago, they had songs for every bit of chocolate there was.
What was the Country Life butter thing?
Country Life, the butter?
Yeah, yeah.
Country Life, you can't put a better bit of butter on your knife.
That is good, isn't it? Country Life.
You can't put a better bit of butter on your knife.
That's good. How many people do you reckon say that?
I think, of my generation, It's everybody says it.
My mum used to sing every time we were in the shop about Bird's Eye Potato Waffles. She used to go, they're waffly versatile.
That's it.
Every time.
They're waffly versatile. They had a song for everything.
Well, was it
gum?
Was it Purcell that used to have, hello, Vera? That one? Because it was made with aloe vera.
Very liquid. For hands that do dishes do be kind to you. With mauve green, very liquid.
I'm glad that one was so catchy that you remembered all the words there, Johnny.
I don't remember the words, but I remember the tune.
I mean, other washing up soaps are available.
Oh, of course they are, yeah.
I mean, but Fairy's the best.
But they had a song. They had a song for everything.
They did. Washing machines live longer with Calgon.
Yeah, they still do that, though.
That was my favourite, that
but
one.
But for a penguin, a nice penguin, pop a penguin.
Oh, wait, we must say, we are mentioning all these different things.
Other available brands.
Of everything.
Of everything.
We're just going for the named brands here.
Yes.
Just because they're ones that we remember.
I'm just remembering the tunes. Great tunes.
Great tunes. Do you know, there used to be sweet songs that I used to remember. There was Yop Yogurts.
I don't remember that one.
Give me Yop, me mama. Yop, no, me mama, no. Give me Yop, me mama when the morning comes. That one.
Do you remember a fudge?
A finger of fudge
is just enough to give your kids a treat. A finger of fudge is just enough for till it's time to eat. It's full of cabinets goodness, but very small and neat. A finger of fudge is just enough to give your kids a treat.
Nice. Do you know, there used to be... let's talk about the US Open. I thought we were talking about that after the break. You see, the US Open, let's talk.
Let's talk about it.
We will indeed.
Yeah.
Now, the US Open will be starting very, very shortly.
Yes.
The American US Open. Well, I've been looking at the draws, and there's some tasty matches, Johnny Spurling.
Well, you're doing a little sweepstake, aren't you?
We are indeed. And I'm a bit annoyed because, you know, I chose John Millman yesterday as my outside unseeded potential player because we can get points for getting to the quarters, the semis, and the final.
Right.
So, I went with John Millman. And he's only up against Rafa Nadal in the first round.
Oh,
so.
That's it. He's not going to make it, is he?
Is indeed. But the story on everybody's lips at the moment regarding the tennis is Serena Williams is up against Maria Sharapova in the first round in an impeccably tasty match.
That will be impeccably tasty.
It will indeed. And also, a lot of eyes in the men's side of the draw will be looking at Denis Shapovalov, who is unseeded this year at the US Open.
Yes.
Who is a very, very, still a young, up-and-coming Canadian tennis player. Mm. And he has been drawn in the first round against fellow Canadian and fellow young hashtag next-gen player Felix Auger-Aliassime as well. So that is going to be a really, really tough match for both sides. You know, so what was that, Producer Paris?
What?
Okay, Johnny, could you say...
go on.
Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Felix... say it again.
Felix...
Yeah.
Auger. Aliassime.
Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Auger-Aliassime.
Auger-Aliassime. There you go.
Yeah, Seam.
Auger-Aliassime.
Perfect.
Felix Auger-Aliassime.
That was absolutely spot on.
I've got it a couple of times. I've got it. Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Indeed. Absolutely.
I won't forget that, mate. I will not forget it. Felix Argyalia-Sim.
You are. You're absolutely right. In terms of a British coverage, Britain's Joe Conte will face Katsikina of Russia, and Kyle Edmund will be playing Spain's Paolo Aduja. But Andy Murray, of course, is not playing in this year's US Open. He's still taking time off. He still believes that his fitness isn't right for his return to five-set singles tennis. And I think he's doing an absolutely the right thing. Would you agree, Johnny Sperling?
You know I don't.
You think Murray should just come back?
No, I just think... I don't think he's going to ever come back as good as he was.
Well, Tsitsarevic, a very popular tennis player, he said that Murray's going to come back stronger than ever.
I really hope that he proves me wrong. I would applaud him, mm-hmm. and I think it's great, but I just can't see it. I just can't see it.
Well, I think...
Maybe I'm a bit of a, you know...
What a lot of people don't seem to realise about Andy Murray is that he's fitter than all other players on the tour.
Yeah.
He is the fittest tennis player there, and that is what keeps him better than everybody else.
Right.
And now, since his fitness isn't at its peak yet, he's still trying to return from this hip problem.
Yeah.
He's
not in pain anymore, though, is he?
He's not, but his fitness still isn't at the top of where it should be.
Of course.
And so that means that his trump card's gone, so to speak.
Yeah.
So he's the best defensive baseline player on the tour, with only Djokovic probably better than him.
Right.
And the argument could be said the other way around for Djokovic and Murray being better than Djokovic.
Yeah. Are you not putting Federer in there?
Federer's not the best defensive baseline player.
No.
Federer is the best all-rounder.
Oh, okay.
And Federer can play exceptional baseline play, defensive and aggressive. Federer can play exceptional serve and volley.
Yeah.
He can play well at the net. He can play great doubles. However, specifically in those areas, Murray and Djokovic are better than Federer.
Yeah.
Absolutely 10 times better. Mm. Whereas aggressive baseline play, you're not going to get much better than Rafael Nadal.
Nadal, yeah.
His aggressive. That's why he dominates clay so much.
Right.
Because he's got such an aggressive. And he's so strong. Have you seen the size of Nadal's arms?
Yes.
They are huge. And this is why when you play on clay, the ball gets very, very heavy because clay is sticking to the ball. The ball's getting heavier. The bounces aren't as high. And so the way Rafa does his forehand, so he comes round, he does the round movement with the ball and socket joint of your shoulder. Comes through. As he comes through, he wraps the tennis racket around his head. And it's also more difficult if someone's playing that way when you're left-handed, which Rafael Nadal is. So you've got a lefty against a righty is always going to be much, much difficult.
Talking about that quickly, about the right hand and the left hand.
Yeah.
Have there been any Wimbledon champions that have been left-handed?
Yes, they have. Goran Ivanišević, I believe, was left-handed.
Really?
And he was the wild card winner.
Because I'm left-handed at most things.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Apart from writing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure John McEnroe's left-handed as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay. Because I'm left-handed. I'll be left-handed at tennis, snooker, but writing, right-handed. And playing the guitar, playing the bass, right-handed. Yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
Here we go. Rod Laver, Jimmy Connors, John McEnroe, Peter Corder. All left-handers.
Some of the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Obviously, Rafael Nadal.
This is Love Sport. We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
This may come as a surprise to you, though, Johnny Sperling.
Yeah.
Donald Trump's been in the news again.
Oh, that is a shock.
He was being quizzed by Bloomberg Politics about his favourite book, which he said was the Bible.
Okay. You mentioned the Bible. You've been talking about how it's your favourite book. And you said, I think last night in Iowa, some people are surprised that you say that. I'm wondering what one or two of your most favourite Bible verses are and why.
I wouldn't want to get into it because to me that's very personal. You know, when I talk about the Bible, it's very personal. So I don't want to get into
There's no verse that means a lot to you that you think about or cite?
The Bible means a lot to me, but I don't want to get into specifics.
Even to cite a verse that you like?
No, I don't want to do that.
Testament guy or a New Testament guy?
Probably equal. I think it's just an incredible, the whole Bible is an incredible. I joke. Very much so. They always hold up the Art of the Deal. I say my second favorite book of all time. But I just think the Bible is just something very special.
Well, the Bible is something very, very special. And the Art of the Deal, I've read The Art of the Deal by Donald. It is like a Bible.
That is the President of the United States talking.
The leader of the free world.
It's incredible, isn't it?
I think the Bible, the Bible is great. I like the Bible. Yes, I do like it. I think it's fantastic. Yes, I think it's totally great. Totally great. I like the Bible. The Bible likes me. We're great, great friends. The Bible.
Who's your favorite character in the Bible?
I like the little mouse who is friends with that giant dog, Goofy. I like that one.
You like that one, yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. I like the story of Joseph because I like the colors. I like all the colors. All the colors.
Yeah. What about Samson and Delilah?
Who?
Samson.
I don't like those guys. That guy Homer does my head in. I don't like that guy. He sits there and he spills donuts everywhere and coffee. I don't like that guy. And who marries someone with bright blue hair? Totally nasty. Nasty. Samson. I hate the Samsons. Mr. Burns, on the other hand, I like that guy.
You like Mr. Burns?
He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He says to me, I said to him, Mr. Burns, what do you think of Donald J. Trump? He went, excellent. I went, I like you. You're great. You're so great. So, so great. I know all of the books of the Bible. I think they're great.
Yeah. Is that the Old Testament or the New? Or do you like both the same, don't you?
They're equal.
Both are equal, yeah.
They're equal. Yeah. I think they're great. I think they're so great. So great, so great.
He's never read the Bible, has he?
He's never read it.
Like, even...
That's so brilliant the way he's never read it.
I imagine people that... If you want to be religious, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you don't want to be religious, don't be religious. It's up to you. So long as you're not hurting anybody, I don't care.
Yeah.
Do what you want.
Yeah.
However... I'm pretty sure most people know at least... If you've got the gall to say that your favourite book is the Bible...
Yeah.
You would know at least a verse. Thou shalt not steal. Maybe the commandments. Thou shalt not steal.
Yeah.
How about something like that? Treat others as you would like to be treated yourself.
Is that in the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he does... And there was one line where he said in the election, the primaries of the Republican debate, they said, Mr. Trump, you've called women you don't like fat pigs, slobs, and listed off all the derogatory things that you said about women.
Yeah.
And his response was, only Rosie O'Donnell. Which is funny, but horrible as well. Do you know when you go, he's funny?
It doesn't make me laugh. Rosie O'Donnell.
Only Rosie O'Donnell.
He's a big, huge kid, isn't he?
I like the Bible.
He's a huge baby.
A huge baby?
He is.
Is that why they did the giant blimp?
It's got to be.
I think it's disrespectful when they did that.
No, I must agree with that. Not the reason it was disrespectful, I'm not saying that I'm a big Trump fan. Of course I'm not. But he came over here and it was to celebrate... the D-Day anniversary.
Yeah.
And that's a serious thing.
Yeah.
And America, of course, we all know, came, they saved their butt.
They did, and they are big supporters of the troops in America.
And they are big supporters, and we should not have done, just for that reason only.
Yeah.
You know.
I agree. I believe no matter how much your hatred for one person of a leader who won an election the same way as every other president did.
He did.
You shouldn't...
And he's representing America.
Our greatest ally.
Yes.
And I think that was massively disrespectful.
It was absolutely diabolical, I thought.
So weak. Nasty weak people. I'm going to pop that balloon. Pop. Get rid of it. Pop, pop, pop. Don't like it. Nasty. Think it's weak. So weak. Such a weak balloon. Balloon. I like saying that word, balloon.
But that's how he talks. Do you know what I mean? He'll say,
he does. It's perfect.
I like that giant balloon. I like saying balloon. Balloon. And notice the way I say it. Balloon. So great at it. So great.
That's how it's crazy, isn't it? But that's how he talks. And
Oh, it's lovely.
Honestly,
he's like sitting. When you're doing it, it's like sitting opposite him.
So you feel great? You feel so great. Johnny Sperling, such a great guy, believe me. Believe me. Love Sport Radio, the greatest radio station. The only radio station I'm going in this country, believe me. So weak, so weak.
But this country is shrinking.
Yes.
With the seaside towns, as that they are urged to move inland, as climate chaos now means retreat needed. Top scientists warned, they're not the top ones, because climate change isn't real. That's what he believes. That's what Donald says.
Sea levels are rising. Yeah, the first is thermal expansion as water gets warmer. It expands.
It does indeed. The second is melting ice on land, adding fresh water into the seas. Quick update from the cricket as well. England are 34 for 4.
Oh.
Ooh, this is concerning for England. Absolutely. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but after the break we'll be talking with Sean Wilson from Last Word on Cricket. So he'll give us the lowdown of this diabolical performance from England after quite a promising day yesterday. So we'll be speaking with Sean later on. But would you live by the seaside?
Oh, I do like to be beside the seaside. I did say, didn't I, that I wouldn't, and I've rethought it because you made me think. Of course, it's living by the lakes where we get flooded.
Yeah, yeah, not rivers
by
and
the
lakes,
not by the sea.
Not by the sea.
Yes, I would. To answer that question, I would live by the sea now.
You would?
Yeah.
Do you know, the northeast coastline's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, yeah.
Well, I keep saying it. Whitley Bay, where I was at.
Whitley Bay.
Do you know that Fairy Tale of New York song? He goes, I kept them with me, babe. That one.
Yeah.
Because Fairy Tale... Quite regularly, they cut that in the northeast to go, I kept them in Whitley Bay. That's what they say. Whitley Bay's beautiful. But I think the danger of living in a seaside town is that... very little there normally. It is just the front street and nothing else. South Shields in the northeast of England struggles
and
with
in
that.
In the winter,
it's grim.
It's got to be, isn't it?
It is grim. Because you want to have an ice cream, what, in the pouring rain and the snow? No, no thanks, I'm all right.
And everywhere's shut down, all the amusements and the whatever they are and the fun fairs, they're all shut down.
They are. I do like the 2p machines, though. Winner rubber. Do you know?
To what machines?
The 2p machines.
Tipping Point. Tipping Point.
Yeah, exactly that. That's exactly it. I really like that one. I think it's great.
Do you know? I never used to see the point in them.
Oh, they were just a bit of a laugh. But you have to be responsible with those because obviously it is gambling, so you need to be careful with that. But it's a good laugh. It's a good laugh. So let's have a look here. We've got Qantas to test a 19-hour direct flight from London to Sydney.
Oh.
Have you ever been to Sydney?
I haven't, no. Have you been?
No, never. I've never been to Australia.
I've never fancied the journey.
I've never fancied the journey, but maybe you will now. Because Qantas are testing their 19-hour flight. They've announced they'll be testing it even longer around the world, with only 19 hours to cover 10,000 miles. New routes are proposed. There's two of them. They're going to be going from Sydney to London and Sydney to New York as well.
Wow. Passengers currently travelling to Sydney from the UK can fly with Emirates, taking 22 hours.
22 hours?
Well, hang on a second.
What?
Well, there's hardly a lot of difference, is there?
What?
3 hours difference.
Yeah.
It's not a lot, is it?
I can get from Newcastle to London in 3 hours.
Yeah, I know, but it's like you've done 19.
Yeah.
You've only got 3 hours to go. It's like, you know, you've done 19.
Yeah, but you get three hours longer.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is that take this show for example.
Okay,
we get to 1 o'clock.
Yep.
Right, we've got an hour to go.
Yeah,
it's like, well, it's only an hour to go.
I still care about that hour.
No. I care about it. But what I'm saying is that, you know, the end is not you know, it's an hour. It's like you've done 19 hours. You've been on this flight for 19 hours. Hours, you've been bored, you've been God knows what, you can't sleep.
So
19 hours, you go, do you know what? We've got three hours. They're the best 3 hours.
No, because 3 hours is like Braveheart or Titanic. You want to watch Titanic or Braveheart again?
And it had been like maybe over 5 hours difference. I would say it was worth it, but.
Well, what's the longest flight you've ever been on?
No. I haven't been on a long flight at all. I've been on... No, I think it's 3 hours.
3 hours. Where was that to? Spain?
Spain.
The longest I've been on was 9 hours.
Right.
And that was over to America.
I'm sorry, mate. What am I talking about? Of course. Yeah, to America.
Yeah.
Six and a half hours going, I think.
Yeah.
Seven coming home.
I think it was 9 for me over that way. 9 over...
What, to JFK?
No, Newark.
Ah.
So we did Birmingham to Newark, and then Newark to Ronald Reagan.
Ah, gotcha.
What's the longest journey you've ever been on, Producer Paris? Longest flight you've ever been on? So mine's 9 hours.
Mine's 7.
Producer Paris says 7 hours to Barbados.
Yeah.
How is it quicker to get to Barbados than it is to New York? How on earth did that happen?
Yeah, it is though.
How do you do that?
Barbados isn't as far as New York, is it?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's right down the bottom of America. Right down the bottom, Barbados. Do you know,
I
watched one of my favourite things of when I hear Barbados is,
yes.
Did you ever watch the TV show World's Strictest Parents?
I didn't watch it, no.
Where there'd be two teens who are really badly behaved and they go sent, two teens who never met will go flown across the world to really strict parents.
Yeah.
A lot of the time they were in the Bible Belt of America, really
right.
strict, or they'd be in India and China that way, they'd be really good. But there was one where they went to Barbados and the mum, whoa, she scared me.
Really?
She was terrifying. And the lad was acting out really badly. He goes, oh, we can't. This isn't what it's like in the UK. And she went, well, you're not in the UK. You are in Barbados. I was like, whoa.
Wow.
Whoa. She is not happy. Well, producer Paris said it was a fast flight. The average time is 8 hours, 30 minutes to Barbados. So he had a quick one.
He had a quick one.
That's a quick flight, that one. Did you ever have the in-flight meals, though?
Yes.
I don't like them. I think they're grim.
Right. They are grim, but I was very fortunate, as I told you before, to be flown first class to New York.
Yes.
And that, my friend, I mean, I won't do it again, I shouldn't think, was unbelievable. It wasn't like being on a flight.
Well, you see, I've got some of the longest flights without stopping.
Yep.
Okay, so Newark to Singapore is as good as 19 hours, 18 hours, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Auckland to Doha on Qatar Airways is 18 hours, 20 minutes.
Right.
Perth to London, Qantas, which is who we're talking about. Qantas are testing their 19-hour direct flights from London to Sydney. So Perth to London is 17 hours, 20 minutes. Because
right.
I'm pretty sure to go to Australia, most people stop in Singapore, don't they?
Oh, yes. Of course, you wouldn't. Well, you have to, don't you?
Well, no, because you can go from Perth to London. So
oh,
it depends where in Australia you're going. So but the majority of people I know, if you're going to Melbourne, most people stop in Singapore.
Singapore, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I mean, Dallas to Fort Worth in Sydney is 17 hours, 10 minutes. What's the shortest one we've got? Johannesburg to Atlanta, 16 hours, 55 minutes. It's so long, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't fancy it. Unless I was first class.
Do you reckon maybe they've gone, I wonder what happens if we go the other way around the globe? They might go, oh, it's only 20 minutes this way. Do you know what I mean?
They'd have to bring their prices down, wouldn't they?
Yeah, yeah. They go, oh, well, you can either have the 20 minutes. It's like going from Romford, 20 minutes
yeah.
or 6 minutes.
Yeah. I was annoyed this morning.
Oh, why?
Because my fast train was cancelled.
Oh.
This is Love Sport.
Let me tell you something, Johnny.
Please do.
Let me tell you something.
Please do.
You know, we've been talking about pubs.
Yes.
And we like a funny pub name.
We do.
The Halibut and Spurling.
Halibut and Spurling.
Oh, you'd get a great fish and chips in the Halibut and Spurling.
You know what I was meant to say earlier on? You know the tennis player Halep?
Yeah, Simona Halep.
She sounds like her name could be a fish, couldn't it? I fancy a nice bit of halep.
Oh, a bit of smoked halep.
Well, it's a scallop and halibut, isn't it? All rolled into one. Nice bit of halep.
Well, there is a tennis player called Mardy Fish.
Mardy Fish, there
we
go.
So there we go.
Yep.
Anyway, right.
Go on.
I'm going to speak with producer Paris.
Oh, yeah?
Because he's got a little bit of a quiz for us. It's not
Games with Laurie.
It's not that.
But it's Games with
so
Paris.
This is a little quiz. But this isn't going to affect our standard
score. It's a completely different thing.
Yes. So we've got a little bit of a quiz here. And
okay.
So what is this quiz, producer Paris?
Yes. Well, as you so eloquently pointed out, we're talking about pubs.
Yes.
And I've been asking our listeners all day to provide us with some weird pub names, perhaps, or what they would call their own pub.
Okay.
I've been doing a little bit of research.
Oh, have you?
Yes, earning my money. and I have found some weirdly named pubs in London.
Ooh.
Yeah. I've written them down.
Yeah.
I've also written down some pubs that I've just made up.
Oh.
So you have to tell me, is it a real pub or is it a fake pub?
How many guesses do we get? How many
guesses? It's either true or false.
It's true or false.
How many true or false is it? In a best of 10, best of 5?
I might run through them all, Johnny.
Okay. We'll
go on then. Do you want me to keep score, Paris?
Go on then. You can keep score.
Keep score.
Right, are we ready? The first one for you is the pub name. This.
Who's the question to?
Oh, I thought you. Do you want to work together or do you want to go individually?
No, individually.
We'll go individually.
We like going individually.
Johnny Sperling, right. You go first.
Johnny Sperling. I'll go first.
Right, this one. The Silent Orange. True or false?
Ooh, that's a tough one. The Silent Orange. I'm going straight with my gut instinct. True. Ooh.
False.
Oh! That is a point to Paris. There we go.
I didn't realise I was getting points.
Yes, you are.
I'm now extremely happy with my point. Cal.
Yes, the nation's favourite.
Are you ready?
I am.
The Mad Bishop and Bear. True or false?
The Mad Bishop and Bear. Do you know what? I'm going to say that's true.
Gotta be.
Is it? Oh, yes!
The Mad Bishop and Bear, located in Paddington. The
Mad Bishop. Oh, Paddington like Bear!
I'm not sure what the Mad Bishop has to do with anything.
Do you know what it could be? It's probably back. Do you know when, like, back in the Middle Ages, where they used to have bear dancing and stuff like that? There may well be a bear that was owned by the church
there
somewhere
might be.
Well,
let me tell you this, Mr. Halbert.
Yes.
I don't think there's a Silent Orange anywhere. I've completely got that. Very good, though.
Ooh,
Paris,
very good.
You got me the silent orange. Oh,
the Mad Bishop and Bear, the station pub commemorates two very different local characters, the Bear, Paddington. Mm-hmm. Oh. Also, the Bishop of London, who sold land here to the railway company. This is at such a low cost that he was deemed mad.
Wow. Ah, that's okay. Good.
So there you
are. Lovely Paddington Bear.
So I'm on the loser already. Go on, Paris.
Mr. Sperling.
Yes.
Your next one is The Blacksmith and the Toffee Maker.
Ooh, that's a good one, that.
It's a great one, isn't it? The Blacksmith and the Toffee Maker. I'm going with true.
Correct. Ooh, you got it.
It's in Clerkenwell. The entirely vegan pub sounds like a story by the Brothers Grimm, but takes its inspiration from a more recent source.
It's a great name.
A 1969 song by Jake Thackeray. He, in turn, got it from an episode in Cider with Rosie, a book by Laurie Lee.
Wow.
So there you are.
Brilliant.
Where did you say that was, Producer Paris?
Clerkenwell.
Where's Clerkenwell?
That's a very good question. Somewhere in London, I would
say. Oh, so it is somewhere in London.
Clerkenwell's in London, yeah.
Yes, right. These are all London-based.
Okay.
Unless they're false, in which case they're just my mind. Anyway, right, Cal, for you.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
The Minogue Arms.
The Minogue Arms. Kylie Minogue Arms. Clerkenwell's by Farringdon. Yeah. Minogue Arms. False.
Oh!
You were right, it is false. I kicked the wrong button. It is false. The Minogue Arms,
Kylie Minogue.
Kylie and Danny, yeah. I went to see Joseph yesterday, so I had Jason Donovan in the head, and then
makes you think the Minogue. You what?
He went to go see Joseph at the Palladium.
Did you really?
I did.
How was it?
It was lovely.
Was it?
Oh, rather lovely, yes.
You love that, don't you?
Of course you do. I love Joseph. It's one of my favourites. However, Jason Donovan, as you correctly said, is in it, isn't he? Well, obviously, he's going to get it right. He went to go see it. But he's the Pharaoh. He's not Joseph.
No, he's Pharaoh. 20 years on now, I think.
Is it?
It's a long time.
Ooh.
Even longer since Philip Schofield did it.
Yes, anyway, that's true.
Moving on, Mr. Sperling, yes. One for you.
Yes, of course.
The
yes.
Pyrotechnist's Arms.
Oh. Say it again.
The Pyrotechnist's Arms.
Pyrotechnist's Arms.
Here we go. What do you reckon?
Why would there be a pub called that? it's so ridiculous, though, that... No, I'm going false.
Oh!
It is true.
It's true. Paris has got another point.
It's in Nunhead.
Oh.
Unquestionably a unique pub name. As we said, the Pyrotechnist Arms was built on the site of a former fireworks factory.
Very about that.
Right. Cal.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am indeed. Born ready.
What's the scores?
It is 1 point to you, Johnny Spurling.
Yeah.
2 to me, 2 to Paris.
Superb. Question number 3 for you, Cal.
Yes.
The Job Centre.
Oh. Yeah. I've been there many times.
Is it the name of a pub, though?
The Job Centre.
It's good, isn't it?
That is good. If it is, the job... I'm going to say... False?
It's an actual pub.
Wow!
Basically based inside an old job centre in Deptford.
Really? Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, all these places do exist, so feel free to visit, but remember to drink responsibly. Anyway... final one each.
It looks
final.
Quite nice, the job centre.
Oh,
know?
You got it up, have you?
It looks lovely. Look at that.
Oh, look.
It's lovely.
Very nice. Okay.
Right. Final question each.
Okay.
Mr. Sperling, a chance to get level.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes. Have you got a tiebreaker?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We've got lots of them. We've got lots of these.
All right, go on then.
The Nigel Thornberry.
Oh, that's...
Like the wild Thornberrys.
The Nigel Thornberry. Oh, it's good. Be sure.
That's a good one, that.
It's good, isn't it? Oh, I'm going to go with...
The Nigel Thornberry. Like the Explorer.
I'm going with... False.
Oh. It is false.
My big mouth ruined that, I think, Paris. I'm sorry.
No.
Nigel Thornberry is, of course, a character from the children's television show. Sorry, The Wild Thornberrys.
He is an explorer, though.
Yeah. Like, oh, yes, hello. I'll be honest with you, I didn't really catch up with that.
You didn't listen.
I didn't listen, but I didn't even know what you went with when you went, The Wild Thornberry. So it didn't really...
The Nigel Thornberry. That does sound like a good pub name, though, doesn't it? The Nigel Thornberry.
Very, very good, Paris. Very
right,
good.
That puts you level. Cal to win.
Oh.
Yes.
To win.
Oh. Well, draw with you, Paris.
Well, yeah, well, no one could be as good as me. but for you, a pub called John the Unicorn.
Oh, John the Unicorn. Now, called John the Unicorn. Do you know what? I imagine there is a pub called something the Unicorn.
Well, there is a pub. There's a pub called the Unicorn.
Yeah, but is John the right name? John the Unicorn. I'm going to say false.
Oh,
it's a real
pub. It's a real pub
in Peckham.
Wow. Is it?
Yeah, named after a childhood toy of the owner's daughter, wow. John the Unicorn. Could start a trend. Could you imagine the Skeletor arms? the headless Barbie? or the Fisher Price Garage.
So what does that mean? We're level.
We're 2-2, and Paris is on 4.
I'll give you a tiebreak.
Here we go.
True or false?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Pepper Saint Ontiod.
Pepper Saint Ontiod.
That's good.
Are you going to the Pepper Saint Ontiod? Are you going to the Pepper tonight?
I'm going straight with true.
All right, okay. Well, I'll go false then.
It is true.
Oh!
The Pepper Saint Ontiod. You want to have a guess where it is?
Pepper Saint. I'm going to say Shoreditch.
Camden.
Millwall.
Oh, wow.
It's a modern carnage by Antic, an abridgment of the On the Isle of Dogs.
Wow.
Which is what Ontiod stands for. The other bit is merely the location. It's just Pepper
Street.
Well,
I'll tell you what. Round of applause for Pepper.
Yes, very good. Very good.
That was a very good, very, very, very good quiz.
That's excellent.
Arguably
better than games with Laurie.
It would be much better.
There's no argument.
There's no argument.
And also, Laurie doesn't like having any points, so I like that our quizmaster can have
points. Yes, he had points. He won.
Wait, Paris won with 4. You got 3.
Yeah.
I have 2.
2.
Love Sport.
You've been listening to Ben and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.